Hi, my name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program called Logical Soul Talk. This is where I get to interview the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world, mainly about the innermost workings of their minds. You see, I was a chiropractor for many years and discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. These subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our destiny. And quite by accident, and many, many years ago, actually, I discovered that I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. Now, the guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work, many are not, but because they have obviously made some strong decisions in their lives that led them to their current success in life. My goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover their patterns and life decisions. This will allow you as my listener, to perhaps pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds to success. Listen to the show with an open mind. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Our number is 347, that's area code 347, and the number is 843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Our guest on the show tonight is Carolyn Cleaves. Now, Carolyn is an interesting person. She has developed a technique or a particular course that she sells over the internet and through other means, which is basically a facelift system using natural techniques. She doesn't use any pins, needles, herbs, lotions that I know of, nothing except certain exercises and facial posturing and other types of techniques that she uses to bring about the effects that she has. Now, I have a picture here of Carolyn, which looks like she's about 33, 35 years old, but in fact, she just had a birthday, as a matter of fact, May 16th, where I believe she just turned, let's see, if I'm not mistaken, 60 years old? I'm not sure. I'll have to ask her when she comes online. Unfortunately, Carol is not on the line right at the moment. So while we're waiting for her to call in, if there's anyone out there who wants to call in, I'll be happy to field some questions about the logical soul. But let me give a little more background about Carolyn. She taught English, math, and science for years. Her background, she had graduate school. You know, she was a teacher, basically. And she designed a facial exercise program that is easy to follow and easy to use. And as people learn, she was able to put this skill in to create her exercise course. And it's called Carolyn's Facial Fitness. And it's very complete and comprehensive from what I understand. She consulted medical doctors and professors of anatomy and physiology who designed what she called the CFF system, or Carolyn's Facial Fitness System. And they remain on her consulting team. And she's always been interested in beauty, fitness, exercise, and has run several businesses. This woman is an entrepreneur. She has had her own clothing company. She's even taught yoga and aerobics, and has also worked as a photographer's model and a runway model. And as I said, I have not met Carolyn. I've talked to her on the phone, and she is really gorgeous. And although she is almost 60 years old, actually she says she is 62 years old. She just had a birthday, which makes her 63. That's very hard to believe. She's lived and traveled all over the world. She's married to a German named Siggy, and she and I have something in common because I'm married to Soma, who is my wife, who's also a German, and actually Soma and Carol are best friends, as a matter of fact. It's one of the reasons I got her on the show. So I'm still waiting for Carolyn to show up on the show, and so I hope she shows up. If not, you've got me to deal with. So let's talk about the logical soul. Now, logical soul is a technique, as I mentioned, that allows you to discover hidden decisions which have remained under the surface or remained in the subconscious, which basically run your life. I chose the term logical soul because, in essence, I discovered that by going back and doing muscle testing and going back to various means and decisions and beliefs that we have, that there came up several interesting patterns, and I use the word pattern because it described a form of logic that we're not familiar with, but it's a logic that kids, for example, are very familiar with. For example, you know, a kid comes up and somebody hits him on the shoulder. Well, he turns around and hits the other kid on the shoulder. Well, that to him is perfectly logical and perfectly ethical and perfectly moral. We as adults tend to judge that, or we tend to think that, you know, we have certain beliefs about violence or nonviolence, or about the way people should behave or not behave. And so we tend to censor a lot of behavior that we have as adults, whereas our soul, as expressed by young children, for example, doesn't have that type of logic that we as adults use. However, the soul or the subconscious has its own form of logic. And this logic, as I said, creates patterns and can be likened unto what the kahunas, the ancient Huna philosophy, called the ku or the unahipali, which is the subconscious being. They call it a being, which is a separate being from the conscious mind, which they call the conscious mind. But in essence, there are two beings that inhabit the body, and this has been discovered by modern science. That, for example, this one lady who was a brain scientist who had a stroke discovered that the two halves of her brain operated as two separate individuals with separate value systems. And so when we deal with the subconscious decision patterns, we're dealing with a form of logic that the conscious mind is not necessarily familiar with, but that develops its own way of communication, and it does not speak. The ancient Hunas called it the spirit that speaks, which is the conscious mind, and then there's the spirit that does not speak, which is the subconscious. However, it does communicate with what the Huna called the high self, which is another being in the trinity of beings, the three beings in the Huna philosophy. So I think Carolyn has just showed up online here. Let me see if I can get her. Let me get a little background again. She has always been interested in beauty, fitness, and exercise. She's been a yoga and aerobics. She's taught yoga and aerobics, worked as a photographer's model and a runway model. She's lived and traveled all over the world. She currently resides in the Pacific Northwest near Seattle, and her husband is a German lawyer named Siggy. And she is, how old are you now, Carolyn? 63. Did you just have a birthday on the 16th? Are you there? Hello? You're on the air. Carolyn, can you hear me? Okay. Oh, okay. I think we have someone else on the air. I think we have my wife, Soma. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, Carolyn has not called in.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Why don't you call her and ask her to join us on the show?
I would try to do that. I call
okay.
you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Just tell her, call in. You can call back in. Thank you. That was an interesting exchange. That was my wife, Soma, who's good friends with Carolyn. She's going to call her and get her on the line here. Meanwhile, I'll proceed with the explanation of what I was talking about, the logical soul, where the Huna philosophy talks about three beings, the high, middle, and the low self. And the low self would parallel what we consider to be the subconscious mind, which has the feelings, the emotions, and its own form of logic, which basically is very elemental, and yet it's very far-reaching. So this far-reaching form of logic has within its range interconnectedness of all things. It also has within it it grasps the understanding of emotions. It grasps the understanding of history as being in the current space or right now. There is no future and past as far as the subconscious is concerned at all. Takes place right now. So if there's something in your past that you have that is unresolved, for example, if you haven't forgiven somebody or you've had some traumatic experience that you've dealt with in the past and it's not been resolved consciously, the subconscious doesn't know how to deal with it except to just store it and to do what the Huna calls ruminate about the particular incidences, because it doesn't have that conscious, logical approach to dealing with issues. It only just hides it away, tucks it away from the conscious mind so that it's not apparent to the conscious mind. It's just sort of hanging in there as an unresolved issue. So the importance of the logical soul is to basically bring to the surface these particular issues that are unresolved and not bring them to the surface so that we can just look at them and experience them and cry or beat a pillow or something like that, but to actually look at the decisions that took place at the moment in which these incidences were stuck into place. For example, if you were abused or scolded as a child, you're going to have a certain decision that life is dangerous, or adults are mean, or, you know, certain types of people are not good, something like that. So when this decision is set in place and there's an emotion that backs that up, then what takes place is that there's a syndrome that's created to where every other decision that comes after that is affected. And it may affect all aspects of your life, your relationships, your career, your money issues, your health. It could affect any aspect of your life as long as it touches that particular decision or that particular incident. So in order to resolve these hidden decisions, the first thing is to feel it. There's some experience that you feel, for example, some level of discomfort, some level of I don't like this, or I'm acting very strangely, or I seem to be sabotaging myself in this particular area. Whatever comes up, the main thing is to just feel that issue, feel that, what we call it, stuff. My wife calls it stuff. Just feel the stuff, feel the issue, feel the emotion. And the next step would be to close your eyes, sit in a quiet place, close your eyes, and just go back. Let yourself go back to the very first time you remember experiencing that particular issue, that particular thought, that particular emotion. When you get in contact with that particular emotion, that particular feeling, usually there's an incident that took place. And usually it arises in the conscious mind, from the subconscious. It comes up. You become aware that there's some feeling inside that remains unresolved. And the next step after that is to simply see the child, assuming it's your inner child, assuming it's you as a child, see yourself as a child sitting there going through whatever this is, whatever this issue is, and allow that child or ask that child exactly what the child needs at that particular moment. And usually the child's in pain or is in fear. There's something going on. As soon as you ask what that child needs, then it will either tell you or it won't tell you. Now, the logical soul, this is a very simplified version of what we do, by the way. This is not the end-all and be-all of everything that we do in sessions, but it's to give you some sort of taste of how these things are resolved. If there is a simple decision and the child says, well, you know, I feel mad or I feel upset or I feel this or that, then a lot of times you can just have the child resolve that, or as an adult, you step into that scene and you resolve that issue as an adult for the child, and ask the child to make a new decision that will impact your life in the current circumstances. For example, if the child said that, you know, grown-ups are mean, ask the child to make a decision that, you know, I get along with grown-ups, or grown-ups are helpful, or they help me a lot, or I am safe with grown-ups, or I'm safe with other people, that type of thing. And by making a new decision, then you can ask the child to come with you to the safe place and just sort of visualize yourself bonding with the child, merging with the child, allowing that child to feel safe while he or she makes a new decision, and then coming out of that sort of as a guided meditation, and then feel yourself coming back into your body and allowing that new decision to take place. That's a very simplified version of the process. The more complex version of the process would have you finding out, for example, through muscle testing or through voice stress analysis, that you do not have access to this particular decision. And what I do in those circumstances is there's a separate process that I use to get access. Sometimes this process will involve forgiveness. Sometimes there's a separate forgiveness process that I do, which involves going back and resolving the energy of that particular incident. Forgiveness does not mean letting whoever abused you or did you in or did you wrong, does not mean letting them off the hook. What it does is it means balancing the energy. So if there was something going on that you did not forgive at some point in your career or some point in your life, it's very important to balance the energy there. And sometimes that means going back and giving back to that person exactly what they gave to you. If they hit you, go back and hit them. If they, you know, did you wrong, go back and do them wrong. And a lot of times we don't feel this is appropriate because our adult sense is that, no, this is not appropriate, I shouldn't do this, and blah, blah, blah. However, understand, this is not the logic of the soul. The logic of the soul is, if you do something to me, I'm going to do it to you. And without doing that, the child or whoever made that decision will not be resolved. And so that resolution will stay unresolved for a long period of time and you'll be stuck in that particular decision. So the process of forgiveness means going back, balancing the scale, so to speak, and allowing the child to break through that, and allowing the soul its own form of logic, which is to allow that issue to resolve itself very quickly. So Soma is back on the air. Were you able to get in touch with Carolyn?
No, I wasn't. I don't know what happened. That's not normal. I hope everything is okay with her. But I just listened in, Michael, and you are so right. I had an issue with a former friend of mine, and I thought I was supposed to have forgiven him intellectually, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Intellectually, I thought it's all forgiven and forgotten, but a part of me was not, and it really takes courage and humbleness to really look if one has forgiven. And if I have not, that means a part of me is still over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be present all here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine this in relationships. You still have a part, you know, let's say hurt relationships. You still have a part over there and not forgiven. And so I can't be all full here. And it made a big difference when I cleared it up.
Right.
It's very simple to do. I don't know if you already explained it.
I haven't gone into the specifics yet, but I was explaining, Soma, that the mechanics are that, you know, as kids, what we do is very simple logic. If you hit me, I'm going to hit you. If you, you know, steal my toy, I'm going to steal your toy. It's like, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, things like that, as taught by the law of Moses. However, as we get older, we start looking at forgiveness as being higher than that sort of energy. You know what I'm saying? Where our conscious mind starts intervening, and we think, well, you know, that's not appropriate, or that's not civilized, or that's not something. And so, but the logic, right, and so the logic of the soul doesn't care. It just has its own logic and its own way of resolving issues, and without that particular way of forgiveness, this particular, whatever you haven't forgiven will remain. And so have you found the forgiveness process to be a powerful way of overcoming a lot of those issues that just sort of stayed with you for years?
Yes, it has, and I'm so grateful. I don't know, have you shared yet how you found that tool?
No, I haven't. Maybe I should do that now.
Okay. You go ahead.
Yeah, I discovered this technique actually in the fifth grade. I was going to St. Michael's Day School in the fifth grade in Savannah, Georgia, and this was 1960. I forget how old I was. I guess it was about 1962, something like that. I was 10 years old, I suppose, and I remember, and of course, the background is my grandmother was a born-again Christian, and she had always taught, you always turn the other cheek, and you always forgive your enemies, and you always do all this and this and this and this. And I grew up, and because I love my grandmother, Mimi, I always wanted to do what she said, and so I was always wanting to be a good boy. I never wanted to be anything other than a good boy and a real Christian and be the best I could be, which, you know, of course, I was loved for that, and she loved me, and everybody loved me, and it was wonderful. Until I started getting picked on all the time at school, and I'll never forget, there's one guy who used to pick on me all the time. His name was Bobby Freeman. I'll never forget him. And he used to pick on me mercilessly, and it just bugged the heck out of me, and I just didn't know what to do with him, and I didn't know what to do about the situation because I couldn't hit him. I couldn't fight back because, obviously, that wasn't very Christian, was it? So I was becoming more and more frustrated and more I didn't know what, because Bobby seemed to enjoy it. You know, I didn't know why he would enjoy such torment, except he had to be of the devil or something. That's the only thing I could figure out. So I couldn't figure it out, and Mimi really didn't have an answer for me. So I remember lying in bed one night where I was just totally tormented, feeling persecuted, and just, you know, asking God, what do I do? What do I do? And, you know, I just don't know what to do. And suddenly this feeling came over me, like I just wanted to kill Bobby Freeman. I just wanted to tear him for shreds. And I just remember closing my eyes and just, you know, stabbing him and shooting him and crucifying him and just doing all these horrible things to him. And I fell asleep, And the next day, I remember I went to school and I felt better. I felt a whole lot better. I remember feeling better, paying attention to it. And throughout the day, I felt really good, and Bobby didn't pick on me. And the day after that, Bobby didn't pick on me. And it was amazing. I don't think he ever picked on me again. As a matter of fact, he became quite civil, as I recall, or he just got bored and just ignored me. I don't remember which, but I don't remember having a fight or being picked on by Bobby after that particular incident. And the whole thing was that by my anger being present in the subconscious, it was sort of like I had an antenna sticking up over my head going, you know, here I am, Bobby. Please come kick me and push my books and, you know, do all the horrible things to me that you can, because I have all this non-forgiveness going on. Thinking all the time I was forgiving him, when in fact I was not. Consciously I was forgiving him. Subconsciously I still had, there was a lot of unresolved issues going on with Bobby Freeman that I just couldn't let out because I was, quote, being a Christian, unquote. And so, and not that, by the way, I'm not recommending all Christians go out and shoot people. That's not exactly what I'm saying.
No.
All I'm saying is that there is an energy that is present in your nervous system, in your mind, and that, if unresolved, will remain with you. Now, there's somebody who's come up and says, well, you know, if you think of these things, you can manifest them. And they were afraid of, you know, casting or some sort of witchcraft or something like that. To answer that, I would say that your thoughts are already there. Your thoughts are already present. You already have this anger and this unresolved resentment toward this person. If it is not brought to the surface and let out, then that will become a poison and will not only poison you but also poison the other person as well. So,
the environment, you know, other people, I mean, if someone carries anger, it will come up any time. He or she can be triggered any moment inappropriately.
Right.
So the issue of anger does have to be looked at and dealt with. It just has to be in a sane way, and your method is simple and sane and effective and does not hurt anyone.
Right, exactly.
So thanks to Bobby Freeman.
Right. Yeah, I owe Bobby Freeman a great debt of gratitude, and if you're out there, Bobby, thank you very much. if you went to St. Michael's Day School in 1962, you're the one I'm talking about, and I want to thank you for that. So anyway, the forgiveness process, that's simply the forgiveness process. There's a few other aspects to it, but that's the essential aspect of it, the basis of it. And it can be done anytime you get in a situation where you're really feeling resentment towards someone. Just stop and just, you know, tear them to shreds for a little bit in your mind. It's amazing how good you feel after you do that. Sometimes you just take a deep breath after and you just, you know, burn the ashes and spread them all around, and suddenly they're just gone. As far as you're concerned, they're just, all that evil and resentment is just squashed. And I recommend it. It's great. It's called the Logical Soul Forgiveness Process. And I should call it the Bobby Freeman Forgiveness Process. Name it after him. So, but at any rate, it does work. And if you're in the listening audience and you want to try that, it only takes a few minutes. It's very powerful, and it will clear up a lot of issues to do with resentment and anxiety and all sorts of stuff that's hanging on. So I highly recommend it. Anything else you want to say, Soma, while we're still waiting for Carolyn? Apparently we're going to have to reschedule Carolyn because she is absent. Now, she's on the West Coast, so maybe she got her time her times mixed up. She might think that we started later than we did.
Yeah.
In which case, we'll have to reschedule her for some other time, maybe in July.
I would like to really add something because the method is so really, really good. So what I do is you do not do anything to this person in reality. I do it only in my mind, right?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
I know that I'm complete when I look at this person in my mind and say, I forgive you now. And I really mean it, and I'm neutral.
Uh-huh.
I have nothing bad left. That's when I
know
I'm done with it.
Right.
Again, because in today's society, I mean, it has to be stressed. You do not do anything physical to this person. You do not do that. You do it only in the privacy of your room, in your mind, alone. Well, we can exactly. meet someone, meet a therapist, but not to the person, because the person is a different story, you know. You don't do that to anyone, right? But in your privacy of your mind, you can do anything. You do it till you're complete. And, you know, I know I'm complete when I can forgive that person.
Right. So. And you've done it with me a few times, as I recall.
Oh, yeah. It's really fun when I do it with you. My inner child is very, very creative with you. Because
yeah,
it loves you.
Yeah, usually you'll tickle me or something else, too. So, which, by the way, I don't feel. It doesn't bother me. So, in fact, I encourage you to do that, so it's fine.
Yeah, I speak loud to you, which you can't stand. So, I mean, different things. You know, I never know what my inner child decides, how it decides to torture you. It has to be appropriate.
Right, so. Right. Well, thank you, Soma, for being the surprise guest on our show today.
You're welcome.
As I said, we'll have to reschedule Carolyn.
Yeah.
When she becomes available. So, at any rate, our guest next week. Let's see here. I've got next week's guest is. Hold on one second. I'll tell you. Okay, it's loading up the archives now. Upcoming episodes, next week, we're going to have Dr. Deborah Winfield, who's a family therapist. She'll present her unique program that trains family counselors and therapists on how to deal with clients who suffered through child abuse. So that should be an interesting segment, and one that sort of cues from this one, I suppose. Let's see here. We've got to go to my blog. I'm still learning to navigate around this. Okay, the switchboard. We've got 2 minutes remaining. So actually, we've got 1 minute. Is there anything else you want to add, Soma?
No, I just thank you so much for this technique. And thank you to Bobby. And I'm off the air. Bye.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So... again, join us next week, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. That's Eastern time, and we're still in daylight saving time, by the way. So right now it is 6:29, and we're just about to end this show this week. But I want to thank you for joining us. Please stay tuned next week where Dr. Deborah Winfield will join us with her family therapy guidelines, how she trains therapists, and some things that we can look for in ourselves is how to deal with the child abuse or anyone we know who may have child abuse, and particularly is good for therapists. So tune in next week, and we will have that show for you. So we've got a few more seconds here. I just wanted to say we've got some other interesting shows coming up. One of them is C.S. Jackson. She's a website makeover trainer. She's coming on June the 9th. Bruce Keenan. Bruce is an amazing fellow. He's a former aircraft pilot. He has created and built a business, become a millionaire. He's a co-founder and CEO from 1997 through July 2008 of Process Information Systems, which he grew it from nothing to $435 million in revenue in 9 years using no outside investors or capital. And he sold it in 2006 to Bell Microproducts. So very interesting. Join us on June 34. For Bruce Keenan. And there's lots of other shows that we're going to have. Please check our schedule of upcoming events and guests and join us for Logical Soul Talk. I'm Dr. Michael Craig. I'm your host.